This is the Talk Show America Show.
Welcome one and all to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed, folks, here today on this Saturday, August 20th, 2011. Just so much going on, folks. You know, I've been on vacation, as you know, for a few weeks now, and we're back to doing the show again. I'm back, folks, from my hiatus, and it was one that was kind of a vacation, a mixture, a new addition to the family. My youngest son married, and so it was a joyous occasion at the same time, a little hectic, as you might know, and of course, they live in North Carolina, so we had to fly down there, fly the family down, just, you know the joys of that, that's for sure. But I have to tell you that I got into a little bit of a problem at the Philadelphia airport down in Philadelphia. I forget what the name of it is, but I was down there. And I've been down there before years ago. But it's anyone that knows that airport, it's a busy airport, number one. And one of the terminals that you're at there, Terminal F, you know, for connecting flights to, you know, to like puddle jumper flights, things of that nature, is completely separate from the rest of the terminal. So once you go through the security there, I mean, it's fine if you stay in there, but if you go out of that terminal, you have to go through the security again. Well, we were going to our connecting flight to Wilmington, North Carolina, and we had gotten all our bags. We'd gotten on the shuttle bus. It's crowded. It's hectic as it can be. We get on the shuttle bus, have our bags. I mean, I have my mother-in-law with me, my two sons. Oh, excuse me, only one of my sons was there. The other was flew down there. Before us, my son, my granddaughter, my wife, we're we're all in the bus. We've got these bags and everything else, and so we get to the terminal where we have to depart from, and my son looks and says, "I think we're missing a bag." And I'm looking, I'm saying, "No, I'm counting us." I said, "We could all get our bags, and you know, we're all set." And you know, I says, "You know, I'm counting the bags and." He said, "No, I think we're missing one. It was one of the carry-ons, because we, you know, obviously the other luggage was in the plane to the connecting flight." So I talked to my wife, and lo and behold, we're missing a carry-on. So it's still on this plane, evidently, or on that shuttle bus, one or the other. So I go to the airline personnel. They tell me to go down to baggage. It might be down there. If they found it on the plane, they'll throw in the baggage claim. Now we only got about 10-15 minutes to make this flight, so. I go down to this baggage claim area, and it's a long way down. And I get into the baggage claim area. I explain to TSA what I'm doing. They stop. I tell them, "Listen, I got to go through the baggage. I got to check and see if this bag came in, and I got a flight I got to get out of here on, and we might have left one of the bags on the plane." So they send me through, no problem. So I'm waiting at the area where the baggage comes through, and, you know, you see everything. It looks kind of like it, but it's not it. And finally, it all comes through, and there's nothing. So I got like 5 minutes now to make this flight out of here. My son is texting me on the phone, telling me, "You better get going. They're not going to wait." So I come around. I'm going up to the point where I got to go back into Terminal F from baggage to get on the plane. And, of course, I get stopped and I get checked, which is, I understand that. But guess what I had to go through, folks? You know, we're all talking about those scanners, those machines, those X-ray things that they are considering dangerous and all this other stuff. That, you know, they basically take a picture of you naked. That's what it is. Well, I had to go through that. Now, I got 5 minutes to get to this plane. And so I go through it. And I have to tell you that I was not a happy camper at the time. Not that, that I gave them any problem or that they gave me any problem, but they could tell that I was a little bit anxious. I said, "Listen, I got to catch this flight. I'm going out of here in 5 minutes. So I went through this scanner. And then after I went through the scanner, because you just stand there and the arms up and all this other stuff, and then you have to stand in front of one of these TSA employees. In this case, it was a female. And you stand sideways to them with your foot on a certain thing, and then they look at your neck or something. I don't know what they were looking at, but I'm like, anyway, I'm looking at the clock tick down, and I'm telling her, I says, you know, ma'am, I says, I don't mean to sound rude, but I have to get onto this connecting flight. And, you know, she said she understood they have to do their procedure, and I understand. Listen, they have to do their job, too. So now I got to go over and get my shoes, my belt, anything was metal, all my stuff. Well, I throw my sneakers. I had sneakers. I threw them on. I'm running through the airport. Anybody ever remembers the O.J. Simpson, the O.J. Simpson commercials where he would be running through the airport? If you got to be old like me, then you might remember him. But here I am running through the airport, full bore, untied sneakers, holding a belt, some other things in my hand. I'm throwing my badge wallet and my other wallet in the back as I'm running. And, I keep getting these texts, where are you, where are you? They said they're going to leave. Well, I come around the corner, and I'm telling you, folks, I'm 58 years old, and I'm in halfway decent shape because, you know, obviously I'm a police officer, police sergeant. I try to keep myself as good a shape as I can. I'm not in the shape I'd love to be, but, you know that as well as that, the family time and everything else dictates that. But I run through this airport, and I make it. Just as they're closing the door on the jetway, they're just getting ready to close it, and she sees me coming, and she opens it, and they actually waited about 1 or 2 minutes more for me than they probably should have, which I appreciated very much. But it was, and it was U.S. Airways, by the way. So in case you're just wondering who was nice enough to do that, it was too much. I'm telling you right now, folks. I get in that plane, and you know those the nozzles for the air. I got this; they're all blowing on me. I'm sitting there with my granddaughter, and I'm telling you, folks, it was a trying time. And of course, when we get down to North Carolina, luckily that bag didn't have anything important in it. It was all just, you know, basically casual clothes I was going to wear while I was there. Of course, you know, my suit and everything else for the wedding was all in the luggage that went into the baggage claim. I just wanted to tell you about that, going through that scanner, because it was very unpleasant. And on top of the fact that I was already irritated, so they probably thought maybe I was up to something. And I think one of them when they were doing through the other scanner, they saw my badge, and they backed off a little bit, I think, and they kind of realized, oh, okay, well, we're probably dealing with a guy that's okay, but, it was an experience. I can just imagine what people go through, on a regular basis that fly all the time on those scanners. I was like, I would not want to go through that again. And the funny thing is, all the way down, I didn't go through that. We didn't go through that at the airports that we left through. I'm not going to reveal which ones we went through. But they didn't have those. They had just the standard security that we went through. But it was amazing. And I was in that machine when I thought, oh, good, we don't have to go. And I remember when I went to the airport that we were departing from, I said, oh, good, I don't have to go through this machine. We'll be all set. Well, I probably wouldn't have had to do it down in Philadelphia either, except that I went into the baggage area, which is technically leaving the terminal, and came back. So it was a hair-raising story. I thought I'd mention it because I know there's a lot of you that are, upset about these scanner machines and everything else, and so far we haven't been glowing in the dark or anything else, so that's a good thing. But it was a hair-raising experience anyway. But I'm back, folks, from vacation. We're gonna be bringing the shows on a regular basis again as much as possible. And there's just so much going on right now that I don't even know where to start right now. I mean, we had the Iowa caucuses, and the Republicans, and we know that Michelle Bachmann won the straw poll there, folks, with Ron Paul nipping her at the heels. And, of course, folks, I like Ron Paul, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, and I think he has some good ideas, but Ron Paul's foreign policy alone is a problem. When a man tells someone in an interview that if Iran nuked Israel, that he wouldn't do anything to help them, that, Israel basically should take care of it themselves. We've got a problem here. One of our major allies in the Middle East, and we're telling them, basically, if this man becomes president, no one will help Israel. I mean, we already have a president that's basically like that now. That's not what we want. Now, Ron Paul may have some decent ideas on the economy and things, and there are some things I actually agree with him on. But I have to tell you, folks, I've seen pictures of him with the tinfoil hat on, and it fits appropriately, I'm sorry, because he's one of these, basically, like a 9/11 truther, you know, that it was an inside job, all this other stuff. I mean, folks, we don't need that stuff right now in our government. We need someone that can take the helm here and be a leader and lead us out of this quagmire that we're in, and it's not Barack Obama, obviously. So... You know, we need to get someone in the White House that's going to be able to do the job. Is it going to be Michelle Bachmann? I'm not sure, folks. There are a couple things here that I want to that I want to talk about. Michelle Bachmann the other day made a statement at rally that she was at, some campaign stop or whatever. You know, whatever. She said basically that if she's elected president, that gas will go below $2 a gallon. I'm basically saying that's going to happen. Now, if I'm her campaign manager, I'm cringing right now at her saying that, because here's what I have to worry about. You know, that's all well and good, Michelle, and that's good to make people, oh, yes, you know, we want to vote for her. And maybe her intention is to lower gas prices, which is great because she can help do it, folks. She can't do it on her own. She doesn't control the price of gasoline, whether everybody wants to think it or not. Now, she can influence it, as Obama has, by, you know, putting a moratorium on drilling, not allowing drilling to go on, you know, in places around the country where we could be getting oil from, putting up roadblocks in front of that. Certainly, if Michelle Bachmann were to lift those moratoriums, it would certainly help folks, no doubt about it. How about allowing the gas tax to go back into effect? Congress can do that, and that'll knock 14 cents off the gallon right there. There are ways to lower the price of gasoline. There's no doubt about it. That will help. But will it be go below $2 a gallon? First of all, I highly doubt it, folks. I highly doubt it. Second of all, you can't make a promise like that because it's a promise that you cannot keep. Now, she could lower the cost, as I said. No doubt about it. Legislation, you know, trying to help legislation get passed, and also, lifting these moratoriums. But you cannot say what the price of gasoline will be, folks. And see, this was something Barack Obama talked about when he was campaigning in 2008, the price of gasoline and things of that nature was up, and it's because of Bush and oil and all this other stuff, folks. When the price of oil, for the most part, is and gasoline has been higher since Obama's been in office, and I'm not saying it's a combination of things, but one of the things is his moratorium on offshore drilling, his moratorium on drilling in the Gulf again, and all of these other things, where we find oil, the shale oil stuff, and these things of this nature. That have kept the prices high. We could, the old saying, if we drill here, drill now, of course, we'll lower the price. Now, it's not going to lower the price overnight. There's no doubt about it. It's going to take some time. But if the Saudis and if OPEC knows that we are drilling ourselves, we're going to get our own energy, it's going to force them at some point in time to have to lower the price because they're not going to be able to sell as much to us anymore. And they're going to realize that we're going to be, more or less independent of them, which is a good thing as far as I'm concerned. But let's get to the main point I was trying to make is this. Michelle Bachmann made a foolish promise there, folks. And it may come back to haunt her because she does not control the price of oil and gasoline directly. Indirectly, yes, she would. She could, through the things that I talked about. But she cannot say, okay, that's it. I'm president. Gasoline is going to now be $1.79 a gallon, and that's it. And it won't go any higher. You can't say that, folks. Now, Congress could put in, could put limits on it and things of that nature. It's not a good idea, in my opinion. I think that we should be looking to become free of foreign oil and more reliant on our own supplies and things of this nature. I think that's the way to drop the price. There's no doubt about it. And as I said, it may not happen overnight, but it will happen gradually. But to say that it's going to be under $2 a gallon, foolish mistake. So she's made a rookie mistake already, folks, especially with that. And I'm sure her campaign cringed when she said it. And I'm sure they're going to look for a way to back out of it. The thing is, no one's challenged her on it. No one. And I'm throwing my hands up saying, I can't believe this. She opens and the door to get challenged, and no one challenges her on it. But then again, I really don't think that many of these candidates think that Michelle Bachmann is really that much of a threat on the Democratic side, or even on the Republican side, for that matter. She's a Tea Party candidate, as you know, folks. You know, I mean, although she's already, you know, in the House of Representatives, she's one of the Tea Party favorites. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, I mean, you have those politicians who don't think the Tea Party is that much of a threat, and of course they're trying to discourage and discredit the Tea Party at every move. They've been trying to discourage and discredit Michelle Bachmann at every move. But the thing that happened with Bachmann, even though she had the straw poll, you know, she won the straw poll, and of course, you know, that puts her in a strong position with many of the Tea Party candidates. The thing that happened with her is Rick Perry came into the race at the same time. Kind of took some of the wind out of the sail of Michelle Bachmann. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Michelle Bachmann. I think Michelle Bachmann is very intelligent. I'm still out on the fence about whether or not she should be president of the United States. Vice president, I would have no problem with. President, I'm not sure, folks. Again, you know, I mean, it always sounds good, but, you know, we'll have to be seen. You have to be a leader, and that's the key. Now, she's been a pretty good leader, you know, in the House of Representatives and, you know, for the in the Republicans, the Tea Party side of the aisle. She's been a pretty good leader there. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, she certainly is a viable candidate in regards to the fact that she's, you know, I mean, I think she's palatable. The thing is, you know, when you're making statements like that, you got to be very careful what you say, because the bottom line is, remember, you know, George Bush Sr., read my lips, no new taxes. That's what killed him, folks. When the time came, that and of course the job situation, which is about what we're seeing right now here in this country with Barack Obama, and you're seeing Barack Obama's poll numbers now, you know, dipping under 40% in overall popularity, and then if you look at some other poll numbers, which we'll try to talk about a little bit today, his popularity has gone down the tubes as well, especially on the economy, folks. Right now, only 26% of the American people feel that Barack Obama is doing a good job with the economy, so that leaves the rest of the country, about 75%, that don't think he is. And that's not good poll numbers for Barack Obama at this point in time in the in his presidency, because obviously 2012 is coming up, and that's going to certainly affect. If things stay the way they are, or just about the same, this is going to affect his chances. All right, we'll be right back, folks, after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show, so don't go away.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe. It's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010. 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
All right, folks, and we're back here on the Talk Show America Show. Welcome, one and all. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. JR here with you again on this Saturday, August 20th of 2011. And I wanted to get into this, talking about the poll numbers and things of this nature with the Tea Party candidates. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit, before I get into this, we're going to talk about this Tea Party straw poll that came out from the Tea Party Nation website. By the way, that's teapartynation.com, folks. teapartynation.com, great site. If you get a chance to join it, if you're in tune with the Tea Party and the Tea Party agenda, you should be over on that site, folks. Plenty of people over there as well. It's a social type site, so you can join. You can have your own web page. You can blog your own opinion there with other Tea Partiers. You know, things of this nature. I don't know if you're familiar with the Ning sites at all, but that's what it is a part of, but the Ning network. But it's a teapartynation.com, teapartynation.com, just like it sounds, teapartynation.com. Great site. If you're an American patriot, folks, you need to belong to that. I don't care how many others you belong to. Believe me, you can network away here, and it really works well. But they sent an article out, which I subscribed to. Of course, I'm a member of the. I should mention that I am a member of the Tea Party Nation, folks. And my page is up there. If you want to go up there, to teapartynation.com, and you'll find me up there, JR. Please, friend me. That's I'll be more than happy to grant those requests. And we need to work together to get this done. But anyway, I wanted to get to this straw poll that they conducted. They conducted a straw poll, and they sent me the results of this straw poll. It's from the Tea Party Nation. .com, as I said, great site. If you get a chance to go up there and become a member, please do. It's well worth it. A lot of information and a lot of good camaraderie, and of course, obviously, activism, which is what we need to remove Obama from the presidency in 2012 by electing him out. So, anyway, the Tea Party Nation ran their latest straw poll, which closed yesterday. Now, The results were very interesting, folks, and we're trying to give you a snapshot of what's going on in the movement and what members of the Tea Party movement might think. Now, of course, this is the Tea Party Nation, folks, that ran this. But if you look at the straw poll, 1,669 people took part in the straw poll, which is about what happens when you do a poll. They get about a sampling of about 1,500 people, and then they go from there. So, I mean, this is a straw poll, so it's not scientific, folks. So you have to also understand that. But sometimes I think the scientific polls are the ones that we have to worry about. But anyway, it says the poll listed only the names of declared candidates, which means that Sarah Palin was not on the list. And since Tim Pawlenty withdrew in Iowa, his name was not included either. Now, it's not surprising, folks, that Michelle Bachmann won the poll with almost 36% of the vote, and Rick Perry came in a strong second with almost 29%. Herman Cain came in third with 12%, and Ron Paul was fourth with less than 12%. Everyone else came in single digits, except Thad McCotter, who failed to break into the single digit range at all. Now, the poll says a lot about the thoughts of the Tea Party movement. It's not scientific, as I said, and it was a snapshot of the Tea Party movement at this point in time. Michelle Bachmann is clearly the strong favorite among Tea Party members, as we've said. I mean, it's shown that, the straw poll in Iowa. You talk to many people in the Tea Party movement, they'll tell you that they like Michelle Bachmann. She's clearly a strong favorite, there's no doubt about it. But Rick Perry has a strong amount of support from the Tea Party as well. Now, this is something that you may not hear from a lot of people across the country. And right now, everybody is piling on Rick Perry. And you can tell who the candidate is that they think is the biggest threat, because that's the person that's in the front headlines all the time. And there's no doubt about the fact that right now, Rick Perry has been in the front headlines for quite some time now. And if you don't think that's true, folks, just listen to this. A few weeks ago, the Tea Party Nation ran a similar straw poll, and the results are interesting to compare. Now, Michelle Bachmann won that poll as well with 43%. And everybody says, yeah, Michelle Bachmann, 43%. Well, that's good. But get this, folks. Rick Perry only scored 15% on that poll. Now, that was a couple of weeks ago. And in that time, folks, Rick Perry has now moved up to 29%, and which with Michelle Bachmann only having 36%, I mean, which is good, still good. But he's within striking distance of her in a few weeks. So there appears to be support for Rick Perry as well in the Tea Party movement. Now, there's a lot of things that Rick Perry stands for that obviously the people in the Tea Party movement, stand for as well. One of them is being pro-life, so you have to look at these things. Now, I mean, it's interesting to see, though, folks, that Rick Perry had scored only 15% and Michelle Bachmann, I mean, a whopping 43%, and how that's in a few weeks has whittled down to 36% for Michelle and Rick Perry at 29%. Very interesting indeed, no doubt about it. So it shows you the demographic and how things are changing rapidly here. Now, in that poll also, interesting was that Sarah Palin, who was included in that poll at the time, was a little under 15%. And it's because of the way the poll is set up, it's impossible to tell if her supporters did not vote in the straw poll because her name was not on the ballot or went to someone else. Now, here's some interesting information. Herman Cain fell in the latest straw poll in the Tea Party Nation, probably reflecting a growing sentiment that though Cain's a great conservative, folks, his campaign is basically entering the terminal phase, and the only question now is when he'll withdraw. I mean, there's no doubt about it, folks. It's a matter of time. Ron Paul showed some increase, going from 5% to almost 12%, and he's still in the also-ran category, though, folks, because with Tea Partiers anyway, I don't think you're going to see Ron Paul get much favor. But perhaps the most interesting result of the poll is that the total lack of support Mitt Romney has in the Tea Party movement, according to the straw poll. Now, again, folks, this is a straw poll, not scientific, and it's only a cross-section of about 1,700 people. He drew only 3% in this poll and 2% in the previous poll, folks. So the race is quickly slimming down to a three-way race between Romney, Perry, and Bachman, or we should say Bachman, Perry, and Romney. Bachman is clearly the favorite of the Tea Party movement, with Perry having strong support and, of course, Mitt Romney almost having none in this poll. Of course, Perry's entry into the race has bumped Romney from the front runner status, and Romney is support of the establishment. That means he has the money, establishment to bring support to him. Perry has a problem of some enemies within the establishment who want to take him down. We know that's true too. But Perry has rocketed into the lead of the GOP race this week with his entry, obviously. But now he's going to face a lot of scrutiny, which is happening already. If Perry's enemies succeed in damaging him or taking him down, that could become a two-way race between Bachman and Romney. Now, the bottom line is, folks, the numbers have come this close in a few weeks, and Perry is. He's a strong voice out there, folks. There are people that are saying, "Oh, it'll never happen." Blah blah. He's George Bush too. I don't know, because we'll have to see. I'm going to talk about Perry in a few minutes when we get back on the show, folks, from the break. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know. One way or the other, whether or not he'll emerge as the strongest candidate we'll see. Michelle Bachman is strong right now behind the Tea Party. But some people in the Tea Party movement are going to have to understand this, and I'm part of the Tea Party movement, folks, but I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have to understand one thing. This bickering amongst ourselves and this trying to take each other down and everything else is going to guarantee Barack Obama walks into the presidency in 2012. We'd better start looking at candidates and taking a serious look and understanding that, as I've tried to tell people in elections past, we are not going to get the perfect candidate. I don't care who runs for president on the Republican ticket. I don't care who is in that mix. No one is perfect. No one is 100% what we want. I'm sorry, but it's true, whether or not people want to hear it or not. And sometimes I hear from the forums and everything else. I get involved in them a lot with Tea Party people, and I get emails from people. JR, how can you say this and this? Folks, it's the truth. Whether or not people want to believe it, it's the truth. If we don't stop fighting amongst each other and try to get a halfway decent candidate, that we can stand behind, he'll walk right in. All right, we're gonna be right back, folks, after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show. So don't go away.
So here's to all the soldiers who fight for you and me, because you wear that uniform, America is free. There is a flag flying so proud, the red, white, and blue, and I can live my life in peace, thanks to you. So here's to all the soldiers who fight for you and me. Because you wear that uniform, America is free. Because you keep us safe from harm, America is free.
All right, folks, and we're back here on the Talk Show America show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. And, of course, we appreciate our brave men and women who fight for our freedoms every single day across the globe, folks. Please remember them in your thoughts, and please remember them in your prayers. And please remember to go to americasupportyou.mil, where you can tell the troops that you support them, that you're behind them, that we're still thinking about them. As I said, during these days of turmoil in this country, politically and otherwise, folks, economically, it's easy to forget about our brave men and women who are fighting for our freedoms every single day across the globe. Just remember them. And it costs you not a dime on americansupportyou.mil to go right up there. And leave an email for the troops. Thank you for what you're doing. We appreciate your loyalty. We appreciate your sacrifice for our country. It doesn't take anything. It doesn't cost a dime, folks, to do that. There are other things you can do up there. Care packages. You can send them, things of that nature. And that may cost you something, but that's entirely up to you if you decide to do that or not. But sending them a note on americasupportyou.mil costs zero, not one red cent. And don't forget, folks, if you see someone in your neighborhood or if you know someone in the neighborhood who has a loved one serving in the war on terror across the globe here, please remember to tell them if you see them mowing their lawn or if you see them in the store or whatever, the gas station or whatever, that you appreciate their loved one's service and sacrifice. It will mean more to them than anything else that you can do, folks. All right. Okay. Let's move on here a little bit. I want to talk about a little bit more about this poll. Then I want to get into some things about Rick Perry that we want to talk about a little bit, because Perry's a formidable candidate, folks. There's no doubt about this, and we're going to have to start looking at that from this side of the aisle. Whether or not we want to, as I said, we don't want to be fighting over, you know, who's going to be the candidate. Well, Perry's this. I don't want to vote for him. You know, I mean, there is. I want someone to name me one candidate. You can email me, jr@talkshowamerica.com, jr@talkshowamerica.com, the letter J, letter R, @talkshowamerica.com. And you can email me, you tell me one candidate that fits every single bill that we're looking for. There isn't one, folks. And, you know, and again, you've heard the candidates on most of the major issues that concern people. There may be other issues that concern you that you haven't heard anything from them on. So, you know, I mean, you still have to keep an open mind. Now, I'm not saying that we want to vote for the establishment candidates right away, and that's it. And the GOP candidates that normally step up. It depends on where they stand on the issues. But if anyone thinks that you're going to find a candidate that's perfect, 100%, no problems, we're all set. That's the guy we want. Good luck. I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you if you believe that that's the case. A lot of them talk a good deal, folks. Michelle Bachmann, as an example, telling people the other day that if she's elected, that gas will be under $2 a gallon. You can't make that a promise, folks. You can't make that. There are too many things, too many factors involved in there, including the oil speculators, folks, including OPEC, including, what's going on in this country, whether we can drill here or not. And, it's not only up to the president all the time. Even though Obama here, that King Obama is trying to make the presidency basically a dictatorship. You can't talk about that. You can't say that, folks. You don't know. Can she say we'll lower the prices? Absolutely, she could say that. No doubt about it. Look at Obama, folks, and his campaign promises, all the promises he made to people, and look where we are now. Of course, it's a poor example to use because he's a poor leader. But I'm just saying, all the promises that he made to not only to people, you know, that that jobs would get jobs back, the economy would improve. He knows how to straighten it out. We were taking the troops back home from Iraq. We were taking the troops back home from Afghanistan. Has any of that stuff materialized? Nope. Would he have wanted it to be that way? Sure. But you know what happens when he gets into office? He realizes it's not as easy as he thinks it is to do these things. But, and of course, the other thing is some of these candidates will say anything to get into the door. And I'm sure there's people on the GOP side with, you know, with the same ideas as well. Obviously not to the extreme of Mr. Obama, but certainly would say anything to get their, you know, their butts into the door and then become the same old, same old. And that's part of what the Tea Party movement is all about, folks. We are sick of the same old establishment candidates. We want someone that's going to cut spending. We want somebody that's going to reduce the deficit. You know, to, well, I mean, they're going to work to do that. I mean, they can't do it on their own, folks. Congress, no matter how much people want to believe, Congress is the one, basically the one that controls the purse strings. It's really up to them. That's why I laugh at these people that blame George Bush for the economy. Now, he's the he was the president at the time, so unfortunately, as Harry Truman once says, the buck stops here. Unfortunately, that is the case. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. Where if they're the president, it dumps on them. That's why with Barack Obama right now trying to tell everybody it's not my fault. Everything else is everybody else's fault, but Barack Obama's. From the earthquakes to the, you know, on down the line, you know, it's not his fault. And the, you know, the, he inherited this economy. No, folks, he didn't inherit this economy. He asked for this economy. He ran to take on this economy. He promised he could straighten this economy out. No one said to him, okay, you know what, Mr. Obama, you're president and you're going to take care of this and you have to. He asked for the job. So I get tired of hearing this, I inherited this mess, BS. No, Mr. President, you campaigned for this mess. You convinced the American people that you could straighten this mess out. So you didn't inherit anything. You know, you inherit something, folks, when it's given to you, whether you want it or not, for the most part. That's the way it is. You know, and it's like if you're born with a defect, you know, physical defect or something, you know, you inherited that physical defect. You didn't ask for it. It was given to you. He asked for this job, folks. That's a point that the mainstream news media and everybody else always forgets to say. No, Mr. Obama, you did not inherit this. You asked for it. You knew what the situation of the country was. You told people you could straighten it out. You asked to be in this position. And you told us that you could straighten it out, and you have not been able to do so. As a matter of fact, you have made it worse. It's as simple as that, folks. And I'm just tired of listening to this day in and day out. It's George Bush's fault. You know, George Bush wasn't a perfect president. I'm not going to say he was. I personally like the man. I think that he did a good job for the most part. And you know what? Just as much as anything else, what people forget is that Congress, the Democrats controlled Congress the last few years of George Bush's presidency. Now, they could have at any point in time turned the spending around. As a matter of fact, it was them that made the spending worse. George Bush could have vetoed a lot of things. He didn't, and he's responsible for that, folks. No doubt about it. But George Bush, when George Bush came into office, folks, in 2000, when he came into office, he didn't inherit a war on terror. The war on terror came to us, folks. We were attacked. So the president did what any president would have to do, and that is protect the American citizens and the public, and take the fight to the terrorists, which I agreed with 100%, and I still do, even the fight in Iraq. But the bottom line is, folks, Barack Obama came in with knowing that this was going on and took the job. When George Bush ran for the presidency of the United States, there was no Al-Qaeda. It was Al-Qaeda, but I mean, there was no, not at the level it's at today, you know, with us being attacked, the world, you know, the 9/11 attacks and things of this nature. They didn't exist. So, you know, in one way, you can say that basically this stuff was dumped upon him. Now, you're going to have to spend money to fight a war. It's just the way it is. You know, but they blamed him for everything else. They blamed him for Katrina and things of that nature. It was just, it's a never-ending thing. But Mr. Obama didn't inherit this, folks. You know, he asked for it. Anyway, I got off a little bit off the sidetrack, and I don't want to do that. We have better start gelling together here in the Tea Party movement, folks, and in the Republican movement, the conservative movement, and realize that, you know, we're not going to have a 100% candidate. I mean, even Ronald Reagan wasn't 100%. I mean, Ronald Reagan is, my idol, folks. Everybody knows that. You know, the man I admire probably most is Ronald Reagan. And the bottom line is, folks, that even he wasn't 100%. And we're never going to get that 100%. But the bottom line is, you know, we know what our values are and what we want to see. So we're looking for a candidate that has at least most of our values. It makes no sense to not vote for a candidate because there's one value that he doesn't, you know, that, I mean, unless it's something very, very detrimental. But, I mean, you know, he may have, you know, they may have a value that you're not, that you don't necessarily agree with. But you got to look at, you know, they call it the lesser two evils standard, but they can call it that all they want, folks. The bottom line is, what are you going to do if you don't, if we don't like the Republican candidate that comes forth? Are we going to vote for Barack Obama or not vote at all, which guarantees Obama to walk in? Come on. We got to use our heads here a little bit. People talk foolish sometimes, and really, it's you know, I know we have to try to get away from the establishment type thing with the spending. I agree with that, okay? And what we have to do is force our congressmen to get into that mode. And I think that has worked to some extent. It's not perfect still, but, you know, at least we're starting to get some progress there. It takes a while to undo these things, folks. Look how many years it took to build it up, and then how many years it takes to remove it is probably going to take some time as well. But we're making some progress there. So anyway, keep that in mind when we're talking about candidates. All right. One of the things I wanted to talk about right now is, you know, as we get along here and move along here, is many in the Tea Party will vote for Bachman. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of them in the Tea Party could vote for Rick Perry, which I don't think is that terrible, folks, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Given the low support that Romney has, I think there's serious doubt whether or not the Tea Party movement would vote for him. But what if he was the nominee? I mean, what are you going to do, folks? You know, I mean, again, you know, Mitt Romney was the governor of my state here. He's a good guy. He's not a bad guy at all. And financially, he has some answers. And Romney Care wasn't one of them, I can tell you that much, unfortunately. But he fell victim to, again, trying to appease everybody. But he's a good guy. And I'm telling you something right now, he's a better alternative than Barack Obama. And this is the problem that many people don't understand. But we'll have to see. I don't think that Romney has a snowball's chance in hell, folks, of getting the nomination. But I'm just trying to prepare you. So here's a question that the Tea Party Nation wants to ask next on this straw poll that they're going to have, this new straw poll coming up. Would you vote for Romney if he became the GOP nominee? That's the question. Would you vote for Romney if he became the GOP nominee? It's a new straw poll at the teapartynation.com, folks. Go up there, join, and take the poll. Make your voices known. As I said, look me up once you get up there. Friend me. You know, go to the page. I'm more than happy to interact with any of the Tea Partiers out there. But it does, you know, beg the question. You know, would if Mitt Romney became the GOP nominee for president, would you vote for him? And now there's people talking about a third party and all this other stuff. And, you know, folks, the time for third parties talk was years ago, establishing a party, getting a candidate, working these things in and going. The problem is that hasn't been happening. No one stepped up to the plate to make a third party. They tried to make the Tea Party a third party. Folks, the Tea Party is not a political party. The Tea Party is a movement of people who are tired of the same old establishment candidates coming in, spending our money recklessly like drunken sailors, not caring how they spend it, where they spend it, wanting to tax the American people out of existence, basically, wanting to let people come into this country illegally, take all our benefits, and move on from there. You know, just a whole bunch of stuff that we're tired of, these establishment candidates. We want people to, you know, to listen to what we have to say. There's no doubt about the fact that a third party would be a good idea. You know, of course, the Tea Party is not it, folks. The Tea Party is not a political party, and people try to confuse it, especially the mainstream news media. They try to get this mantra going. Excuse me. We're not a political party, folks. We're a movement of people. So basically, that's just you know, that's where that goes. You know, I mean, and we, you know, the time for the third party was years ago. Setting it up. Now, if you're talking about the possibility, like in 2016, of a third party, things need to happen now. Things you need to start, you know, you've got to start establishing a party, establishing candidates, getting your name out there, but no one's doing that, folks. No one's doing that. And I mean seriously. I don't mean, you know, the Ralph Naders and things that pop up, you know, out of nowhere, or Ron Paul's or someone else that said they're going to run as a, you know, right now Ron Paul's trying to run as a Republican. But, you know, I wouldn't doubt if you wouldn't hear of a movement that puts him in as an independent candidate, which can it'll come up the works. And it'll almost surely guarantee Barack Obama wins the presidency in 2012. So if you get a chance, now that I've sidetracked myself again, go up to TeaPartyNation.com, folks. TeaPartyNation.com. It's a great site. Great information up there. There's others up there as well. Don't get me wrong. There are. There's some great ones. T-Book and a few others, and I'll talk about them on the shows as we go along. They're all great sites, folks. Get up there and interact with people. Take part in this poll. Let us know what you think. You know, that's certainly would like to see that. And go from there. All right. Let me try to get over to what I wanted to talk about here, folks, as well today. And that this article came up today, so I want to talk about it today because it's fresh. There are other articles I'm going to talk about and things I'm going to talk about with Rick Perry being he's a serious candidate, folks. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's got some serious mojo. Some people may not like him. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, I mean, I love one of these blog posts that was put up here as I'm reading. I'm going to go over this article with you today to talk about some of the things. Is if elected president, Rick Perry could still jog with his gun. I mean, that's great, folks. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, it's a great headline, and maybe I'll even include that on the blog, folks. I mean, I think that's pretty good. Now, this article appeared, folks, on in The Ticket. It's a Yahoo News blog, and it's 7 ways Rick Perry wants to change the Constitution. Now, I wanted to go over this today because it's germane to what we're talking about here. So as soon as I get back from the break, we'll go into this article a little bit. All right, we'll be right back after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-558-4307.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security check. Over the past decade, the tax team at J.K. Harris has successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-558-4307. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-558-4307. That's 800-558-4307.
All right, folks, and we're back here on the Talk Show America Show. Welcome, one and all, to the show. We want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. You know, we appreciate it very much indeed. Folks, don't forget the website, TalkShowAmerica.com, www.TalkShowAmerica.com or TalkShowAmerica.com, doesn't really matter. And don't forget, folks, our flagship station, WTSAIR, Conservative Talk. That's at www.WTSA.com. So WTSA.com, folks, for conservative talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Great shows on there like the Talk Show America Show, the flagship station. And yes, so folks, just because somebody said this to me the other day, Talk Show America Media does own WTSA. Great talk shows up there, folks. Talk Show America. The Captain's America, my good friend Matt Bruce, great show there, folks. Anyone that knows Matt knows he does a great show. And, you know, it's a great show to listen to. 3-hour show now, folks. And he's on, I forget what radio station is. I think it's WWGA in Florida. I'll get that information for you. The numbers escape me exact. The callers, I should say, escape me exactly. I'll get them for you at some point in time. And also the Kyle Warren Show, my good friend Kyle Warren, who is always entertaining. With this fake Barack Obama and fake Bill Clinton and fake Nancy Pelosi. Those just crack me up. The New Media Revolution with Frank Salvato, another great show, folks, that gets the hard-hitting issues of the day out there to you. So there's some great shows. The Jimmy Z Show, folks, is another one. That's a great show to listen to. These shows are all on WTSAIR Conservative Talk. That's WTSAIR.com. When you get a chance to get up there, I'd love to have you people listening to that. And they're all good shows, folks. And it's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So let us get up there and let us know what you think. Send me an email. Shoot me an email on those two. I appreciate that you're listening. All right, let's get to this article because it kind of hit me a little bit when I was first reading it. The article says Rick Perry has many ideas about how to change the American government's foundation document. Now, at first, a founding document, the Constitution. Now, at first, when you hear this, you're kind of like, "Ee, that's scary." But where do you hear some of the things, folks, and some of the things we probably agree with? Rick Perry has laid out some proposed innovations to the founding document in his book, Fed Up, Our Fight to Save America from Washington, which is be some reading for people. He has occasionally mentioned that on the campaign trail. Some of the ideas fall within the realm of mainstream conservative thinking today. But as you will see, there's a few surprises, he says. Now, he says number one thing that Rick Perry wants to do to change the Constitution is this. Abolish lifetime tenure for federal judges by amending Article 3, Section 1 of the Constitution. Now, there are some people who say, I don't know. Folks, I don't think that's such a bad idea. I really don't. Basically, these federal judges basically run the country. And I think this might be something that Perry says that makes some sense here. He says the problem is that members of the judiciary are unaccountable to the people, and their lifetime tenure gives them free license to act however they want. I mean, that's true, folks. Whether we want to agree with it or not, some of us, it's a true fact. They're not elected by the people, so therefore, they really don't have to worry so much. Now they obviously want to try to get some, they obviously want to try to keep their slots, so they want to make sure the candidates that they, you know, that put them there and will keep them there are there. But the bottom line is that it's true. I mean, they're put in there. And they make decisions, and they're not accountable to anyone for making that decision. They make the decision. I mean, they render an opinion on what the law is and how it should be. A classic example right now is the healthcare law and the way things are going there. Some judges have said, no, it's not unconstitutional for a healthcare mandate, and other courts have said, yes, it is. It just shows you how varying the opinions are and, how they can control things. That's one amendment that he wants, one part of the Constitution that he'd like to amend. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Number two, Congress should have the power to override Supreme Court decisions with a two-thirds vote. This one I don't particularly care for. I think we have to be careful, if we're going to let Congress override things, because Congress is not too good at what they do either, and have their own agendas as well. So I'm not so sure that's a good idea. Changing the judges, I think, is probably a good idea because we're not stuck with the same old ideas all the time. Three, scrap the federal income tax by repealing the 16th Amendment. The 16th Amendment gives the Congress the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. It should be abolished immediately, Perry says. Calling the 16th Amendment the greatest milestone on the road to serfdom, Perry writes that it provides a virtually blank check to the federal government to use for projects with little or no consultation from the states. Well, folks, I'm one that happens to agree that the income tax, the tax system in this country should be changed. Flat tax is a good idea. There's other things that have come up, like national sales tax, things of that nature. So I'm not completely against that. Number four, end direct election of senators by repealing the 17th Amendment. Overturning this amendment would restore the original language of the Constitution, which gave the state legislatures the power to appoint the members of the Senate. Ratified during the Progressive Era in 1913, the same year as the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment gives citizens the ability to elect senators on their own. Perry writes that supporters of the amendment at the time were mistakenly propelled by a fit of populist rage. The American people mistakenly empowered the federal government during a fit of populist rage in the early 20th century by giving it unlimited source of income, the 16th Amendment, and by changing the way senators are elected, the 17th Amendment, he writes. There's some pros and cons to this, folks. Some pros and cons. Because, obviously, you can have some states that would just send, you know, they're going to send who they want to the Senate, and you're stuck with those people whether you like it or not. So there's some pros and cons to it, but it's not it's something that could work. I'd have to research it some more. Five, require the federal government to balance its budget every year. Well, folks, that's a no-brainer here for us here on listening to this show and in the Tea Party movement. This is what we've been calling for years. So, yes, I have no problem with amending the Constitution to require that. Absolutely. I'd be all for that. Number six, the federal Constitution should define marriage as a man, as between one man and one woman in all 50 states. Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. There's no doubt about the fact that we need to do this. No doubt at all. And I think that this should be an amendment to the Constitution that would read that. Absolutely. It should define a marriage as between one man and one woman in all 50 states. You're never going to see it happen anymore, folks, though. It won't happen. But I agree that it's something that should. Unfortunately, it won't happen. And the seventh one that this gentleman talked about in the article was abortion should be made illegal throughout the country. Amen again, folks. No doubt about this whatsoever. It should be made illegal throughout the country, except under certain circumstances, as we've talked about before, the health of the mother, things of this nature. Obviously, there's some things that we have to take into consideration. But just to get an abortion because you feel like it, because you don't want the child or whatever, yes, I agree 100% that should be, but it's not going to happen, folks. That's not going to change in the Constitution either. We can fight it all day long. It's not going to happen. And there are people of us that know that, and we have to go on to move to look at things we can change. As I said, some of the strong points here, obviously, defining marriage as between one man and one woman, all for that. Abortion should be made illegal throughout the country, all for that. Requiring the federal budget, the federal government to balance its budget every year, absolutely, positively, no doubt about that, folks, as well. All for that, too. That should happen as well. It's just amazing that whoever wrote this article thinks that there are a few surprises there. Where's the surprise? The Tea Party has been calling this for this for a while. The conservatives have been calling for that for a while. The conservatives have been calling for amendment that defines marriage as between one man and one woman. And we've all been, also been calling for the making abortion, abortions, going on just for the heck of it, illegal as well. We've been calling on these things for a while. Well, it surprises me that people that write these articles are like shocked. Why are they shocked? So those are seven ways that Rick Perry would want to change the Constitution. Basically, folks, I would say that at least five or six of them are the ways that conservatives and Tea Party members have been talking about for years that we wanted to amend the Constitution to read these things. The taxes are another one that could be talked about as well. And there's been talk about not allowing federal judges to hold office basically for life. That's talked about. So these are not new concepts by any stretch of the imagination. So Rick Perry thinks that these should happen, and suddenly someone tries to put it out there. I don't know if I can't get the gist of this article, whether the person thinks that he's a nut because he wants these or what. So I'll have to research the author a little bit more, and I can tell you more then. But they were interesting indeed, and it just came out today. I was going to talk about another couple of articles about the Perry that came out, but I am going to talk about them on future shows, folks, which are going to be coming up next week's show. I'm going to talk about basically what's going on, and I want to call it the demonizing of Rick Perry. That as well we'll be talking about. All right, that's all the time I have today here, folks, on the show. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. I appreciate it very much indeed. Catch us again next week on the Talk Show America show, folks. In the meantime, stay safe. Just remember, email me, jr@talkshowamerica.com, jr@talkshowamerica.com, letter J, letter R, talkshowamerica.com. Have a great day, folks. Stay safe.
God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.